And now, the top 10 reasons for you to pledge your support to WUSB. Number 10.
WUSB broadcasts a diverse and eclectic program schedule, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Number 9.
WUSB is staffed by volunteers. On-air staff members are SBU students, staff alumni, and members of the Long Island community. Many of us began as WUSB listeners.
Number 8.
WUSB receives no federal monies for operations. Listener contributions fund 36% of our budget. SBU students fund 56% of our costs. SUNY Stony Brook covers 8%.
Number 7.
Unlike other public stations, your donation to WUSB does not pay for salaries. WUSB has no full-time staff working at the station.
Number 6.
Your donation helps to pay for our transmitter antenna site lease and for the audio lines which carry our signal to our transmitter.
Number 5.
WUSB is a local radio station attuned to the needs of the Long Island listening community.
Number 4.
WUSB is your outlet for the latest music releases in all genres. There are no preset playlists here. On-air hosts are free to program varied music shows which reflect your feedback and requests.
Number 3.
You're encouraged to contact us at 632-6498, our feedback line, with your suggestions and interests. Check our website, www.wusb.fm, for a full range of station information.
Number 2.
You will help maintain quality, diverse programming which serves the whole community.
And now, the number one reason for supporting WUSB.
With your donation, you become an important part of the WUSB family. Thank you.
Wow, there are a lot of people who work here. That's more people than most radio stations have on staff, period, just doing that one promo. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. We are in fundraising mode, and you're about to tune in, hopefully, to a special edition of Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening as we begin fundraising here in the spring of 2007 for WUSB. And I want to thank the people who actually have already called. People have called before the show because we announced that we were going to be doing this. Now, let me just point something out. On the other radio show, on the other radio station a couple of months ago, I believe back in January, we had an amazing promotion that practically bankrupted us over at 2600 because it was just so much that we were producing, and it had such a strong response. And we said, this is the last time we're going to be doing this here. Now, okay, the catch was the word here, because we're not here anymore. Now we're here, but we're not there anymore. So basically, we're able to offer the same deal here on this fundraiser. And if we get anything near the kind of response that we got on that radio station here, you're going to see some very happy people. At least that's what I hope. I hope that's what makes them happy, because we've been trying, you know? A lot of glum faces. But seriously, 631-632-9872 is the fundraising line. And what we're offering, and what we're going to be excerpting tonight, is the entire 70-plus DVD set. What kind of craziness comes on 70-plus DVDs? I'll tell you. The Hackers on Planet Earth conference, which took place last July, called Hope Number 6, which featured all sorts of talks and panels and discussions. And it's incredible, because there's no way you could have made it to everything if you did go to the conference. And having this DVD set has been a very popular thing for many people to get, even at the regular price that we offer it at. What we're doing tonight is we're offering it at half the price that we normally offer it at, which is already a discounted price. So if you call 631-632-9872 and pledge $200, you'll get 70-plus DVDs, each one at least an hour long, with various hacker topics and technology panels and various other things like that. I have a huge list. This is the list. Listen to how thick this is. That's a thick list. These are all the talks that are on this thing. And it simply boggles the imagination that so many people come together every couple of years in New York City and basically share what they know, trade stories, meet other people. It's a whole lot of fun. So let's dive right into it. That's what I like to do. I like to get started right away on this. My God, is it hot today? I'm sorry. I meant to get through this whole thing without mentioning the weather, but it's whatever it is outside, it's like 20 degrees warmer inside. Yeah, bless the university. They do it every year. We somehow missed spring this year. We went directly from snow on the ground last week to 80 degrees this week. I don't know. For me, for some reason, the spring is always the most depressing time of the year. I don't know why. I can't even get depression right. Everyone else gets depressed in the winter when it's cold and desolate. I love the winter. I'm at my most cheerful when it's cold and desolate out. But as soon as it starts getting warm and the birds start to fly around and sing and the plants start to peek their plant heads over the horizon or whatever and start threatening to bloom again, I don't know. There's something about it that just makes me sigh and say, oh, no, not again. Here we go. One more time. Maybe it's just because it's an indication of how we just keep doing the same thing over and over again, how maybe we're just not getting far enough ahead, or maybe every year there's just a little bit less to do, you're less and less relevant to society as a whole, as we're taught as we grow older. Every year, less and less people around. People getting sucked into relationships and families and careers and all sorts of other things, and then you don't see them again for a long, long time, and then when you do see them again, they're changed, you don't recognize who they are, you wonder how you ever could have been friends with this person in the first place, because they're just total dweebs. But then the mood passes, and it's before you know it, it's April, and spring is completely over. Okay, I don't know where that came from, but let's not waste another opportunity to get into the Hope Number 6 panels. And where should we start? There's so many places to start. The disadvantage with this is that no matter what I play, we're going to be missing something really good. Let's start with one of my favorites from a good friend of mine, Barry over in the Netherlands, Barry the Key. Every time we have a Hope conference, comes over here and does a whole big talk, usually 2 hours long, on lockpicking and how it applies to hacking, what motivates people to play with locks, and basically how to do it yourself, how to know what is going on when you turn a key. And isn't that what hacking is all about, knowing what is going on when you're turning a key, something so basic as that? It's very educational, it's very instructional, but the thing is, you have to remember when listening to this, it's great on the radio, but it's even better if you can see it. Because Barry is demonstrating exactly what's going on with these locks and how they work and how they can be defeated and how you can protect yourself. All right, so let's listen to an excerpt from the lockpicking panel at the Hope Number 6 conference. Again, if you call 631-632-9872 anytime in the next hour, you will receive a copy of this on DVD plus at least 69 other panels that took place during that magical weekend in July 2006. 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB for the full Hope Number 6 DVD set, 70-plus DVDs. Let's take a listen.
I'm not a number. I'm a free man.
Okay, right away I played the wrong thing. Hold on. Yeah, you see, If I knew CD players as well as Barry knows locks, this wouldn't have happened. Okay, here's Barry and the locks.
Well,
Okay, it's good to be back in New York. After all, this is where, for me, a lot of things started. It's always good to be here, always friendly people, and I'm going to tell you about some exploits for mechanical and even some electronical locks that we've been found out over the last 2 years that it took since I was here. On my right side is Mark Weber Tobias. He's the author of the big book we lockpickers call The Bible. It's really a very nice piece of work, and he's been, you know, playing with locks when I was in diapers. Sorry about that. Yes, okay. But anyway, he will introduce himself later on, and let's get it started. As I said, a lot has happened since the last time I was here. It's almost been only been 2 years ago, but a lot of things were happening. One of the things is that our Lockpick Club tool, which is just, you know, nothing more than a bunch of amateur lockpickers, lock enthusiast people, really has become a name in the industry. As Mark says, you know, there's no single lock manufacturer in the world that doesn't know about us, and that's because some exploit that we brought to the attention of the public and the media that we will talk at the end of this presentation. This makes life easier for us because, you know, if I'm at a conference or anywhere, people just hand me cutaway locks and please test this before we put it in production. There's a lot of advantages on it. Some other things have also happened during the last time, and that is that lock sports is growing rapidly. 6 or 8 years ago I was here talking about lock sports, and some people really picked it up, and this all started in Germany, where people started to pick locks as a hobby and a sport, and then it went through the Netherlands, and now it's spreading all over the world. There's locks sports group set up in Canada, in the US. It's really getting somewhere. Also, there's some online communities that have information that, you know, you couldn't dream of having 2 years ago. One of the best examples of that is lockpicking101.com. As far as I understand, it's run by just a couple of kids who just did it for the fun. And now there is, I don't know exactly how many thousands of ten thousands of messages on there, which a lot of them are really poor quality. But if you sift through them, no, really they are. But if you sift through them, there's information there you will find that you will find nowhere else on the planet, except maybe behind some closed doors at you know, agencies. And if you sift through it, you will really find some very valuable things. And I think Lockpicking 101 is one of the most interesting things that have happened in, you know, the last 2 years, and it's really getting somewhere. And also, you know, there's this whole next generation of young people who start an interest in locks and lockpicking and physical security, and, you know, there's some really, really bright kids just thinking about locks and how to exploit them and doing nothing else. You know, they sit there in this small village and I don't know what's wrong with them, but they can only think about locks, just like I was. And one of the examples, and I'm not sure if the last part is it, it's Guy Deviant. He also does presentations at DEF CON, and he's really a talented guy. He knows his stuff and does excellent presentations. And one of the things he's also good at is making graphics. And thanks to him, I will be able to explain some of the things and the hacks more clearly, because a lot of his graphics, animated GIFs, he lets me borrow it. So it works both ways. You know, if I have some information, he uses it in his presentations, and if he makes nice graphics, I can show you. Well, mechanical locks are not safe. Maybe this is not completely true, because there are some damn good mechanical locks on the market that even I cannot bypass. But at the end of the day, mechanical locks just, you know, they have some fundamental problems. And there's many ways that you can bypass or exploit these locks. There's a number of techniques. There's lock picking. There's bypassing. And Mark told me to remove the strifen. Is that what it's called?
Hyphen.
So I'm sorry about that. impressioning and self-impressioning, which is really something I like. Then there's decoding. I don't know if I spoke about that before. And there's something new on the block called bumping. And, you know, some people already know about bumping. And if you haven't known, if you haven't heard about bumping, you know, this is going to be an interesting lecture for you, I think. Okay, lockpicking. As the people in Germany say, lockpicking is fun, fun, fun.
Do you want this displayed on the screen?
Yes?
No.
Oh, it's not? Oh, no. Oh, there goes my presentation. Great. Wonderful.
I shouldn't have said anything.
Okay, well, here's a lot has happened. Mechanical locks are not safe. Okay, fun, fun, fun. Okay, well, you know, lockpicking really got me hooked into learning about locks, because you can only pick a lock if you know how it works. If you don't know how a lock works, it's going to be damn difficult to open it. It can be done, but, you know, if you want to get somewhere, you really need to take locks apart and understand about them. As I said, lock sport groups have formed worldwide. At Tool, we have a new style game. It's some sort of competition where we have a box of 26 locks, and everybody at Tool can try to pick these locks as fast as they can, and they can try as many times as they can. So, for instance, the number one lock might be a Schlage, for instance. And, you know, when I first start to try to pick the number one lock, it takes me 10 minutes and 5 seconds. And then I think, okay, now I understand it a little bit better. So I pick the number two, or I pick it again, and now I can pick it in 8 minutes. And then when I'm looking to my right, I see that somebody else picked that same lock in 25 seconds. And I'm like, okay, how did you do it? And then, you know, this brings a level of knowledge transfer between people. Like, how is it possible that you can do it in 25 seconds while I can do it only in 8 minutes? And this really gets people to think about locks and to copy techniques from each other that are successful. And this really is something that I'm proud of, that we thought of, that we came up with it. The fun thing about lockpicking is that you can help people when they are locked out. This happens to me approximately one time a month. And yeah, they know how to find me. And, you know, it really is rewarding if you open the lock. Once in a while, you know, you're on your knees for 15 minutes picking and it doesn't work. And, you know, they think, that guy, you know, I should have only watched his video and not asked him to open the... What's that?
I think it's a rotary pickout.
Yeah, sure. But anyway, most of the time the door opens. And but it's really rewarding if you can use your talents and your skills for something to help out other people. Now, as I said, locks are have vulnerabilities, and the main reason why locks are vulnerable, if I need to go into that, first I need to explain how does a lock work. Can everybody raise his hand if they know how a lock works in detail? Okay, that's about 60-70%. That's very good. Do we have a laser pointer?
I've got one.
Okay, Mark has got one. Okay, well, as you can see, what I always consider the most important part of a lock is the plug. It's that round thing in the center of the lock that at the end, you know, we would like that to rotate. And the question is, the question you have to ask yourself if you want to... Thank you, Cindy. I got it, Mark. Thanks.
Okay.
The question you need to ask yourself is, why does the plug only turn with the correct key? So I can insert a wrong key and the plug won't turn. And why does it turn when I insert the correct key? Okay, there we have the plug. And there's actually holes drilled into the plug. And it's too bad we can't see the house. But the house also has got these holes. And this should, you know, this is the house of the lock, this part. And you see that there's two stacks or two pins on top of each other with a spring. That's the spring. And you see that if the key is inserted into the lock and it lifts the point where these two pins are on top of each other, exactly at the point...
Now, you see where there might be beneficial at this point to be able to see what is actually happening here. And, of course, you can't do that over the radio. We'd like to show it to you over the radio, but we can't because we're just a radio station. But that doesn't mean you can't see what's going on in this particular panel. An excerpt from the lockpicking panel hosted by Barry the Key over at over from Holland, who is here with Mark Tobias and a bunch of other people discussing and playing with locks. It's the most incredible thing to just see the passion that goes into something like this. When you're into a particular aspect of hacking, I guess you can just stay up for days pursuing the answers. And that's what a lot of people did at the conference. That's what a lot of people do to this day in the hacking community. And you can get a good idea of what that's all about by pledging and getting the full set. Even if you went to the conference last July, there's no way you could have seen all 70-plus talks. Well, now you can. Now you can actually confine yourself to your home and watch one of these every single day for the next few months, and you won't be bored. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Pledge of $200 gets you more than 70 DVDs. Like we said on the other show, you know, that's a good price even if the DVDs are blank. But these DVDs are far from blank. They're filled with all sorts of various topics and panels and ideas and things that you just don't hear discussed anyplace else. And I can pretty much guarantee that you won't hear any kind of instructional talk about lockpicking any place in American media except for maybe a station like this. And you certainly can't see the videos on a station like this, which is why we're asking you to support us by calling 631-632-9872, showing your support, keeping programs like this coming, and getting a pretty good deal in return. Now, I know there are people out there who already have the DVDs. I know that. I sympathize. Well, I don't sympathize, but I sympathize in that I know you want to help us, and you can't figure out how because, well, you already got the DVDs, and you can't really have two of them, can you? Well, yeah, you can. You can have two of them because they make great gifts. And nobody really knows how much you paid for the things in the first place. They can go for many times what you're pledging for right now. So, yeah, great gifts. You can do that. Or there are other options, too. We have a $75 pledge. And for that, you'll get a 2600 sweatshirt, the famous hooded 2600 sweatshirt. And in addition, you'll get a WUSB hooded sweatshirt. So basically, you're getting two sweatshirts for $75, which is cheaper than what you would get them for normally. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. So a pledge of $200 gets you all the DVDs. A pledge of $75 gets you two sweatshirts, one 2600, one WUSB. You can alternate them. You can wear them both at the same time. You can do all sorts of things. A pledge of $50 will get you a copy of Shadow of a Long Island, which is the radio play we presented last fall. Actually, we presented it many years ago, and we re-presented it last fall. We sort of resurrected it, I guess. It's about a nuclear disaster on Long Island put on by WUSB players. And you'll get that for a pledge of $50 plus a WUSB T-shirt. So the most important thing to remember, though, is that you're calling to support non-commercial radio, listener-supported radio, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB, no matter where you are in the world. And if you're not in the United States, the country code is 1, but you probably know that. No matter where you are, this station obviously means something to you, or you wouldn't be listening. You wouldn't be listening now. So if you ever listened to Off the Wall or any other part of this particular radio station and gotten something out of it, think of the importance of having this place continue to be around. I'll tell you, it's not as easy as people seem to think. It really isn't that easy. I know a few weeks ago when we did the show from Austin, I tracked down this quote-unquote pirate radio station. Actually, it was simply an internet radio station. Very simple to put together. Was broadcasting over the internet. Somebody else set up a pirate transmitter to send the signal out. And the station itself was completely legal. Of course, the person doing the pirate broadcasting was breaking some kind of rule. But it was incredible to go to that place and see just how quickly they were able to set something like this up, how cheaply, and how somewhat efficiently. It wasn't bad. But that's not the case here. We're a radio station that's affiliated with the State University of New York at Stony Brook. and we have a 4,000-watt transmitter. We have all sorts of bills to pay and all sorts of equipment to be maintained. And because we're a licensed radio station on the FM dial, we're one of those increasingly rare animals that keeps getting swallowed up by one thing or another. And that's why it's important, since we don't have commercials, we don't have any other way of staying on the air. We can't just raise the advertising rates. We depend on two things. We depend on the budget here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, and we depend on our listeners, increasingly so on our listeners. And as fewer and fewer people listen to radio over the years, that's what I keep hearing, and more people listen over the Internet, our audience has kind of shifted. We have so many more people now in various parts of the world. So just because you're not on Long Island or in the New York area does not mean that you are not relevant to our overall mission here. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. And I got to tell you, you know, when we offered this on the other radio station, the exact same deal, the phones were going crazy. We were getting mail for weeks afterwards from people crying, saying, I wish I had called. I wish I had pledged for this because it was just such a good deal. Well, look, we're offering it again. And not only that, we told people on the Internet, we spread word over the entire Internet that we would be doing this. So there are no excuses. The only thing that's different is that your money is going to a different radio station, where actually the budget is so much less than at WVAI, and you're calling a different phone number. So if you can handle those two things, what else could possibly be stopping you? 631-632-9872. And I'd like to play some more excerpts from the Hope Conference to spur you on there, give you a sense of all the different things that you'll be getting for that $200. But first, you know, I want to tell you another story, too, just to hammer home the point of how vulnerable it all is. Over the last couple of years, the FCC has made it somewhat possible, at least in theory, for a certain definition of broadcasters known as micro-broadcasters to go on the air. And one of the biggest success stories, I thought anyway, was right here on Long Island, where somebody put on a very low-power radio station, called it Radio X, and they broadcast alternative music. And I put that in quotes because it doesn't hold a candle to what people play here on this radio station, but it was better than anything on the commercial dial. And yet these guys were able to put on a radio station, and they used various kinds of software, thank you very much, to keep the music playing. And it was going through a computer, and they had all kinds of weird announcements and things like that, including saying they were broadcasting from atop of a big tree someplace. But it was all legitimate. It was all legitimate. It was not commercial, even though it sounded commercial, because I think it was run by people who are into commercial radio. They, as microbroadcasters, were not allowed to put on commercials. And then they got a couple of translators that they were able to obtain, and they actually had a signal where you could switch from one frequency to another, and most of Suffolk County seemed to be able to get this very low-power radio station. Micro-broadcasting, actually taking on the big guys. But, as fate would have it, it turns out that they were not able to support themselves. And as of next Sunday, all the stations affiliated with Radio X will be turning religious. That's right. And I feel really, I don't know, kind of betrayed with this one, because I didn't even know that they were hurting. I just thought it was good to have some alternative. If you're going to stay in the commercial band, at least have some alternative to the commercial crap that's there. And now it's just going to be more and more people preaching the same old thing over and over again on how many different frequencies. Oh, I know there's certain differences, certain minor, tiny differences. But for God's sake, people, you got to get over it. You got to stop injecting religion into every single aspect of your lives. Saying prayers before you eat, saying prayers before you sleep, saying prayers while you sleep. In fact, that's probably the way you do it most of the time. I understand there are people out there who like religion. All right, I understand that. It's very appealing to many people. But you got to separate the rest of your life from it sometimes. You know, I like pretzels. I really do. Pretzels are great. But I don't inject them into every single conversation I have. I don't try and run a radio station based on pretzels. You know? I'm not trying to belittle that. I don't mean the little tiny pretzels. I mean the big ones, you know? You know the kind I mean. Yeah. You just got to, you know, get a grip on reality. All this religion on the radio. How about doing other things? There's so many things to talk about. So much music to play. So much potential lost. But it drives home the point that nothing can be assumed. No station can be around forever. If they don't bring in the support, then they may very well be replaced by something else. Don't let that happen here. 631-632-9872. We're going to go back to the Hope Conference. Again, we're offering an unbelievable deal. 70-plus DVDs. That means maybe 71 or 72 or I don't know how many. Each one with video from last July's Hope Conference in New York City with all sorts of different topics. We just heard lockpicking. Let's go to one of our favorite speakers, Steve Rombaum, who is a private eye extraordinaire. He's able to find anybody. He's able to find anything on anyone. He's a guy you do not want as an enemy. And he was supposed to give a talk at Hope. But get this, right before his panel, he was arrested by the FBI. Yeah, it's a whole big story. But you know what? I don't have time to get into the whole big story here. If you get the DVD set, not only will you see the reaction to what happened at the conference when he was arrested by the FBI, but you'll see the panel that he eventually gave in November to make up for this. We gave a makeup panel at the Stevens Institute in New Jersey. We've included three extra DVDs with that talk. And he went on for 3 hours nonstop. It was amazing. So here's an excerpt from that where Steve is talking about various privacy invasions and things that you should be concerned about. Something very educational, something of interest to all of us. But please remember to call 631-632-9872. $200 gets you the entire DVD set. $75 gets you two sweatshirts, two hooded sweatshirts, a 2600 sweatshirt, and a WUSB sweatshirt. And $50 gets you a copy of the Shadow of a Long Island play and a WUSB t-shirt. Now back to the Hope Conference.
Three major companies, which, by the way, are routinely accessed by private investigators, have hundreds of billions of records on you. These people take every bit of data that they can beg, borrow, and steal, and they amalgamate it, and they offer personal profiles on everybody in America that are accessible by one piece of data entry. I can put in your Social Security number, and the whole file comes up. I can put in your telephone number, and the whole file comes up. I can put in your specific address number. By that I mean street and apartment number, everybody at that address comes up with their files. This is routine. Now, here's what's insidious. Now, there are good reasons for this. If I'm going to lend you $100,000, I need to know if you're a deadbeat weasel. If you're going to be a nanny in my house, I should be able to find out if you're a child molester. But here's where it gets obnoxious. The U.S. government is the largest customer of these companies. And here's what the U.S. government does. The U.S. government says, here, ChoicePoint, you've got so many records and they're so useful to us. Here's all of our stuff, too. Criminal records, contact lists, everything. Merge it in with your stuff. Create a separate file that's only accessible for law enforcement, which these companies have done. And let us access it on a per-search basis. ChoicePoint, Accurate, well, Accurate is now Sisson, all said, cool, more data for free, and you pay us to access your own data. So ChoicePoint and Sisson went ahead, did this. Now, let's say I want to file a Freedom of Information Act request and find out what sort of information can the government access on me. No freedom of information. These are private business records. They're there. The government provides a lot of the info. The government accesses the info whenever they want, but it's not a government record. Very, very sneaky. Here's a list of companies purchased by ChoicePoint in the past 5 years. And by the way, I could give you 10 pages. The easiest thing in the world for you to do is go on the SEC site, look at their 10-Ks, go on their own site and probably find this. I mean, everything from insurance screening to DNA screening, public records provider, drug testing company, drug screening company, insurance rating company, medical review company, DNA identification company, pre-employment, email database, blah, 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 blah. The purpose of this is they take any matching point, they merge it together. Here's subsidiaries of ChoicePoint. Now, here's what's coming. Facial recognition, cameras everywhere. And cameras everywhere that have a brain behind them that looks at your face and says, that's Bob, and records it into a database. These are actual locations of cameras in a spot in Manhattan. I believe that this is where Broadway and 7th Avenue intersect. 98, 2003, 2008. Now, England is a good example of where we're going. It's estimated that in England, the average person just walking around, doing their thing, traveling around, having a normal day, is on camera almost 400 times. Facial recognition software will allow somebody to determine where I am at any given moment of the day. That kind of freaks me out. Even on campus. Colorado, University of Colorado, some guys had a smoking pot. University of Colorado first tried putting up the photos of all the people, because they film everything now at UC. They put up the photos of everybody on a website, sort of a snitch site. If you know who this person is, let us know, we'll give you $100. Nobody responded. So they went out and they got a program which cost them all of $1,100. And they cross-referenced these photos with student IDs. Every single person identified who was a student. I mean, there were people who came in off campus, hey, free weed, no problem. But all the students got nabbed and got identified and got marked identified on the UC website, and I would imagine had a very ugly time of it after that. Now, here's another fairly insidious technology that's going to be cataloging everyone and identifying current location of everyone. This is actually in use in England, in the airports. It's gait recognition technology. And the theory behind it is, you know, you can put on a mustache and a big Groucho Marx nose and a wig and a hat and do whatever you want, but you're going to walk down the street the same way. Even if you try to disguise it, you know, you're behind as a certain number of centimeters this way or that. I don't know how it works. I'm not an expert on this, but apparently it works really, really well. You know, we could go into this, but I will tell you that there is today a product available to law enforcement put out by a company called Empire North that allows the police to shoot a radio frequency ID tag into you and track you with it. You can be tagged like a moose. And it's being used by the Copenhagen Police Department. So, I don't know. Figure out where this is going to go. This is just to let you know what's in the future and freak you out a little bit.
Yeah, that's an understatement, Steve. That's Steve Rombaum giving a talk at the Hope Number 6 conference on some of the things that are out there now and some of the future implications. And if you're not scared by that, if you're not spooked out by it, you're not paying attention. So, I urge everybody to listen to what Steve has to say. So in this hour, we've heard from Steve Rombaum at Private Eye talking about all sorts of law enforcement and surveillance techniques. We've heard from Barry the Key from Amsterdam talking about lock picking. I think that's two pretty diverse subject matters there, kind of different ends of the spectrum. We're going to continue with a bit of a talk on wiretapping. This is from a special panel that we put together at the HOPE conference. But again, I want to urge people. Phones are a little light now. We want to get these phones lit up. We have a room full of people, and the heat is on. I mean, the heat is literally on in the studio. They've turned the heat on because it's the first day of summer or something. So we have all these people crowded into a room, and it's getting really hot and uncomfortable, and tempers are starting to, well, you know what happens. So you can help that situation by calling us, 631-632-9872, and sort of taking our minds off our physical discomfort and pledging, making us happy. 631-632-9872. Pledge of $200, you'll get more than 70 DVDs. I said 70. Yeah, nothing but HOPE Conference material. It's unbelievable. I can't believe we're doing this again, to be honest. But it's only going to be good during Off the Wall, and it's something that you have to jump at because it doesn't stay this way for very long. 631-632-WUSB. Pledge of $200 gets you all the DVDs. A pledge of $75 gets you two sweatshirts, the WUSB sweatshirt and the 2600 sweatshirt. Both of them really cool, or they'll keep you warm, whatever you want to do. $50 will get you a copy of the Shadow of a Long Island radio play that we presented back in the 80s. And a WUSB t-shirt. The important thing, though, is to call now, 631-632-WUSB. Let's take a listen to Wiretapping with Matt Blaze.
I'm not a number. I'm a free man. And, this is a talk about how law enforcement wiretaps actually work. I'm Matt Blaze. This is Sandy Clark. Micah Scheer and Eric Cronin. We're at the University of Pennsylvania. Most of this work has been published already, but it's also available on the web. So what we're really looking at is the question of not how can you wiretap somebody, but a slightly different question than the one one usually asks, which is, if law enforcement or somebody who's doing wiretaps to create a legal record of what's going on are trying to use technology to do this, how might that technology fail? That is, not how could you defeat a wiretap in theory, but based on the actual technology that law enforcement agencies are using to do wiretapping, how might that fail? Are there vulnerabilities in these systems? Now, of course, all of us as hackers know that without even looking at the technology, we know the answer is yes, because all complicated systems have bugs in them. But these are systems that haven't really been scrutinized very much. And we think we may be the first people, at least in the open community, to have gotten a hold of law enforcement wiretap systems and really scrutinized them to find out whether the records they're collecting are, in fact, accurate. So just a quick primer on wiretap law in the U.S. Basically, law enforcement agencies do two kinds of wiretaps under the law. The law says there are really these two broad categories of wiretaps you can do. One's called a pen register, and that's a kind of wiretap that's intended to be the least intrusive kind, where they just find out what numbers you're calling. There's an analogous thing called a trap and trace, where they find out what numbers called you. It's a relatively low legal barrier to get one of these things. Basically, all they have to do is kind of sneeze, and then they can get a wiretap order of a pen register kind against you. If they actually have probable cause that you might be committing a crime, they can get what's called a Title III wiretap, or a full content wiretap, where they don't just find out what digits you're dialing, but they also get to listen to your phone calls. And that's not just a higher legal standard, but it also means somebody has to sit there and listen to the calls. So according to the published statistics on wiretaps, most wiretaps are of the pen register kind, not the full content kind. Now, interestingly, from a technological point of view, this distinction is meaningless because they use the same technology to implement both. They just turn off the record audio feature when they have just a pen register wiretap. So they use the same basic equipment to do both kinds of taps. Now, there are a bunch of different ways they can do this. One is to ask the telephone company for the records of who you call. That only helps them with kind of your past traffic. It doesn't give them real-time access. Another way they can do this is with a technology called a loop extender. in which they basically physically hook up something to your phone line, and it basically makes a copy of everything on your phone line and sends it back to headquarters on what they call in law enforcement terminology a second friendly line that goes from your phone line back to the law enforcement agency. That technology is about 50 years old. It's still in use, but it's been largely supplanted in the U.S. by a standard interface that in the 1990s phone companies were required to have called CALIA, or the JSTD-25A, which basically is a standard wiretapping spying interface that has to be built into every phone switch. And it's also, again, used for both full audio taps and for just the pen register taps. Now, interestingly, because law enforcement agencies have all this tape recording equipment, one of the pressures on them was to keep CALIA systems compatible with the older systems. Now, we all know that compatibility means compatibility with all the old bugs. So it turns out that a lot of what we're going to talk about loop extenders, will apply to CALIA systems because they have bug compatibility built into it. So just a quick review. For those of you who aren't telephone enthusiasts, this will be new. For those of you who are telephone enthusiasts, you know, basically, the POTS telephone system aims to provide a kind of this idea of a pipe between two telephones. And, you know, we crypto people call them Alice and Bob, but you can use any names you want for the two phones. If Alice wants to call Bob, she basically signals over a dedicated circuit to her central office. The central office decodes the dialing signals, calls Bob's central office. Bob's central office rings Bob's phone, and they get kind of this virtual circuit while it's going on. We'll talk about how that's implemented a little more, but just very briefly, the interface between you and your and the telephone company is this thing that's about 100 years old. The basic standards date back way, way back. There are two wires that are private between your phone and the central office. It's this ingenious interface. Those two wires have lots of different kinds of signals on them. It supplies power back to your telephone, 48-volt DC. There's a current loop on that 48-volt DC. When there's a load on it, the central office detects that you've picked up the phone because the circuit closes when you pick up your telephone. During the call or while your phone is off the hook, audio AC signals are superimposed on top of that. While a call is going on, those audio signals are content. But before the call has taken place, while you've gotten a dial tone, those audio signals are signaling to tell the phone company what numbers you're calling, if you're using touch tone dialing. So it's this ingenious multiplexed interface that tries to squeeze as many functions out of these two wires as possible. So if you want to tap someone's phone, you have many, many different options. The wiretapper has a huge range of possibilities. So one possibility is to go to the local loop, those two wires, get access to someone, climb their phone pole, go down the manhole, go into their phone closet of their place, or go to the somewhere near the central office, get access to those two wires, and, you know, hook up a tape recorder or a radio transmitter or something like that to it. If the target is using a cordless phone, you might intercept the RF coming out of that cordless phone. Or if they're using a cell phone, you might intercept the radio signals there. You might go to the central office and tap the phone there. If they're making only calls between central offices or long-distance calls, you might tap the inter-office trunks and tap their phone there. You know, there's practically infinite range of possible ways someone who wants to wiretap might do it. We're interested not in all of the possible ways you could wiretap, but very specifically what law enforcement agencies actually choose to do and what are the possible implications of some of those design choices. So to do that, we wanted to get some wiretap equipment. So it turns out that in the United States, possession of equipment that is primarily useful for the surreptitious interception of wire communications is illegal, and it's one of those really bad felonies to be convicted of. There's a law called 18 U.S. Code 2512. Don't ever get convicted of it. You go to jail for a long time. It's really, really bad to have wiretapping equipment if you're not supposed to have it. And, you know, worse, because of this crime, you can't just call the companies that sell the equipment to law enforcement agencies and buy them. First of all, they're very expensive, and second of all, it's, you know, supposedly illegal. So we had to go to eBay. It turns out that law enforcement agencies, when they have extra wiretap equipment, they do the same thing you do when you have an extra stereo. They sell it on eBay. And I spent about a month. I found out it turns out the secret to getting this stuff on eBay is to just find out what the manufacturers of it are and look for them. There are all these little companies, and all they sell is wiretap equipment. So, you know, the Ocala, Florida Police Department, I remember that we got a lot of their stuff. The Chicago Police Department sold us some digital recorders that still had wiretap recordings on them. I filled up my whole lab full of this stuff for a couple $1,000s worth of expensive wiretapping equipment. Now, I suggest very strongly you don't try this at home because we, it turns out, I got this NSF grant from the government to study wiretapping, which turns out to, under 18 U.S.C. 2512, exempt us from the, you know, bad felony aspects of this. So I suggest you don't do this unless, you know, you've also got an excuse enumerated in that legal section. So we got a bunch of this surplus wiretap equipment, and we played with it. And interestingly, what I'm about to describe, most of the vulnerabilities that we're going to describe in the talk tonight were discovered in the first hour and a half after opening the first package of equipment that we got. Pretty much all of the first things we thought of turned out to work. We never had to get to testing the second things we thought of. So I'm going to turn this over to Micah, who's going to talk about some of this equipment, some of the vulnerabilities we found.
No, actually, sorry, I can't let you do that because, we're running out of time here, and if folks want to hear the rest of that talk, they're going to have to get the DVDs. They're going to have to pledge to the radio station and get the DVDs. I'm here with Christina. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
What am I maybe being too harsh with the listeners, expecting them to call in? I mean,
maybe.
I expected more.
I expected more, too, and we thank the people that have been calling in,
yes,
but there's definitely more that are needed. And maybe they don't realize how easy and painless the process is. Could that be?
Well, you pick up the phone, you dial 631-632-WUSB, and then what happens?
Then you're going to be asked for your name,
mm-hmm,
your address,
mm-hmm,
how much you'd like to donate,
mm-hmm,
whether you'd like us to bill you, or if you want to put it on a credit card.
And it's all done in very pleasant tones.
Definitely,
mm-hmm,
most definitely.
Nothing confrontational.
And that whole thing, too, where we can bill you, you don't even have to fork over the money right now. You could just say, here's what I'm good for, and we do hope that you're good for it.
We don't expect you to come down to the station with cash, nor will we come to your house and demand it. You can either wait for a little letter from us that will ask you to fulfill your pledge, or you can give us a credit card number, preferably your own.
Really,
all right,
is easy.
631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. We only have a few minutes left. We only have one excerpt left that we're going to get to as well from this special deal that we're offering. Basically, what 2600 has done is donated a whole bunch of full DVD sets, and these DVDs have more than 70 in each set, the biggest DVD set I'll bet you'll ever have. And each DVD is a different talk from the Hackers on Planet Earth conference of last July.
I'm interrupting. You said
70. 30 shy of 100. I'm still kind of bowled over by this.
Imagine getting that in the mail. You pledge for it, then you get that in the mail. It's going to be like Christmas morning.
It will be.
Or Hanukkah night or whatever it might be.
And you don't ever have to leave your house again because you'll be entertained for the rest of your life. With all this. I mean, I'm listening to what we're playing over the radio now, and I'm transfixed by that. Imagine that times, I don't know, several
70.
Hundred. Well, no, because we're only playing excerpts of each DVD,
true.
So it's a huge amount. And the thing is, when we offered this on WBAI, we had phones ringing off the hook for the entire hour. And we're getting a couple of calls, but not nearly the same here.
Come
and
Long Island.
The calls here would mean so much more. The budget over there is many, many, many times more than the budget here. So if we were, just to give you an example, if we were to bring in the same amount of money that we brought in during that hour here, the fundraiser here would almost be over. That's the difference.
Oh, what a dream.
Yeah, can you imagine that? So if you're kicking yourself for not calling in to that station, or if you know somebody who might like to have the DVDs as well, mm-hmm. why not call us, 631-632-WUSB. You'll be helping out a great community radio station, one of the few that's left. And it's unbelievable how they just keep falling, you know?
I know.
The radio stations are disappearing. Well, this one is still here. This one is still strong. That's because of our listeners that it is.
I know. And with this, too, not only will you be just the coolest person in town, you can invite people over and have a little gathering
mm-hmm.
with your newly, not purchased, your newly earned
yes.
DVDs. So you could just show off how cool you are. Not only do you listen to the coolest station, but you have some really cool goods.
That's right.
And you can win over cool people.
We,
I don't know.
We want to play.
632-6901. All right, let's get moving on.
We do have a call on the line, and we want, we've got a room full of people. So we have room for four more calls. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. Of course, if you're already in 631, this is one of those places where you don't have to dial the area code. Isn't that great? We still live in a place you don't have to dial the area code.
So even easier.
All you have to do is dial 632-9872. That's all you have to do.
I still prefer the 632-6901 number.
That works,
the
too.
Classic.
That works, too. 631-632-6901. There's all kinds of... Just dial any numbers. You'll get to us eventually. All right? Pick up the phone and say, operator, get me the WUSB tally room, and she'll connect you. She knows what to do.
And we're here for you, and we want to continue to be here for you. So help us out. 632-6901.
Yes, 631-632-6901. Okay, that's a good one, too. That's one we used to give out years ago on brain damage as well.
Yeah.
Okay, final rundown of the premiums, $200 for all the DVDs, including the excerpt that we're about to play right now. In fact, I'm going to start it because we're running out of time. You'll recognize this voice.
This is not having a fear.
Yeah.
Always fear that
That's
someone really doesn't like you and knows
I'm
all your
speaking over the voice of Jello Biafra.
Down your door at any time your life is over.
He wouldn't like this fear listening right now, but the reason I'm doing it is because we're running out of time, but also to indicate that we have all sorts of an assorted cast of characters appearing in this DVD set. Jello Biafra has been coming back to the Hope Conferences since the first one he attended in 2000. We've got all sorts of different people talking about different things, and you'll get to see them. You'll get to see them if you get the DVDs. And I believe with Jello, there's some really astonishing footage that you can only see on these DVDs. But again, you have to call us to take advantage. $200 will get you the full set of DVDs. $75, you'll get two sweatshirts, a 2600 sweatshirt and a WUSB sweatshirt. Or $50, you'll get a copy of The Shadow of a Long Island Radio Play and a WUSB t-shirt.
And I know we're running out of time, but the USB paraphernalia is really cool looking this year.
It is.
It is. Really nice.
Didn't you have a hand in that?
Oh, I'm not the graphic designer behind it, though. I'm just the messenger. So I'm not taking credit. I'm not touting my own horn.
Well, it's a good message. And we have two phone calls on the line. That's
excellent. Room for more. 632-6901.
So only three people in there are now pouting. Two people are happy, three people are pouting, so that means three of you out there have the ability to make three people happy.
Good thing. But now, no.
So while Jello is ranting and raving, I guess we'll start to say goodbye, and thank you to all those people calling in. But please keep the calls coming, because every single one means a great deal to this place. Your donation really goes a very long way. It's kept us on the air since 1977, and I'm looking forward to the future.
Me too.
It's going to be fun. 631, three calls on the line. There are three calls
room
on the line.
Room for more.
All right,
though,
you know,
we're getting there, but there's room for more. 632-6901. Don't count on somebody else to do it. You need to go to that phone.
And now there are two people who are really looking sad because they just weren't fast enough to get to that phone when it was ringing. I know. You have to sort of jump over the table. That's the trick. That's
and
my trick.
And then imagine when the next one calls, that one person's going to be sitting there so dejected. 632-6901. Let's keep them all busy.
All right. Let's listen to Jello for a bit.
Every kid always have to have an ID badge on that had one of the tracking things in it. Well, that way maybe no molester will kidnap you, but we've kidnapped all of you instead, basically. And then Sony BMG was even selling CDs to people of popular recording artists without telling anybody. You put that into your computer, there's some little rootkit spyware that gets installed that monitors your Windows media software, and you'll wonder, where does that info go? Just to help them determine whether you've you've been file sharing. I mean, if anybody has turned file sharing into a scam, it's the major labels. It's the RIAA, who've sued over 16,000 people now. Even told one woman going, trying to put herself through MIT and didn't have a lot of money, well, you should just drop out and go to community college so you can pay blood money to your friendly neighborhood major label narcs. Not cool. They've gotten $40 million from these lawsuits. Where has the money gone? To the artists? No. Especially not the independent artists. Grokster shuts down, pays another $50 million blood money to the major labels. You know, if did the artists get any of that? Doubtful. And if the Santa Claus at the NSA, being the omnipresent everywhere, isn't enough, you'll love Oprah. I mean, she reminds me more and more of Kim Jong-il. Her own picture is on the cover of every single one of Oprah magazines. We have to have our Oprah picture properly displayed in our home, or bad things may happen to us. I mean, she's even gone beyond Kim Jong-il and marketing herself as a drug now. A feel-good mood enhancer. If you're down, you just turn on the TV or a DVD or an Oprah magazine. Oprah will soothe you with the answers to all the world's problems. Same time as they claim they're entitled to know more and more and more about us, we're allowed to know less and less and less about them. 2004, the Bush mob spent $7.2 billion stamping documents top secret. That's a lot of documents. Even classifying documents that had been public for years. So now if you're caught with them and you got it from a library, oh, you're possessing classified documents, off to Gitmo you go. And they even, in the Pentagon, even censored a video on how to help citizens navigate Freedom of Information Act requests.
Just popping in here to say goodnight, and thanks everybody who called in. We'll be back next week on Off the Wall. If enough people write to otw@2600.com, maybe we can convince to extend the offer. And by the way, if you do call 631-632-WUSB and pledge $200 for the full DVD set, which includes the Jell-O Biafra State of the World address, you don't get the music. That's just part of the show. Good night.
And we don't have a file on the other one you just requested us for either. And guess who that was? Rosa Parks. So something's being black boxed over there in a very, very, very big way. Meanwhile, you know, what also didn't help New Orleans or the rest of us, Homeland Security, dog and pony show at the airport and spying on people and Patriot Act or not, has become as corrupt as the Pentagon in less than 5 years. Tom Ridge, the first director, you know, that goofy car 54, where are you, kind of cop-looking guy that Bush put in, he left with his tail between his legs after a couple years there to go work for a company called Savvy Technologies and be on the board. They make the radio frequency IDs that the Homeland Security now requires be put in your passport to track you. Ridge writes it into law, then makes all the money as a monopoly selling the equipment to the government. 90 other Homeland Security officials have followed suit into the private sector. Ooh, terrible tragedy on September 11th. How can we scam on this one, basically? So, sure, you do have the dog and pony show at the airport. A lot of people who are groping you, they've never checked their background at all to see if they're ex-cons or might actually be a sleeper for some terrorist organization we should be afraid of. I just keep getting tempted with those people to show up, put through a carry-on bag, they open it up, and there's a smaller one inside. They open it up, there's a smaller one inside, and a smaller one, and a smaller one, then the little one, out jumps the jack-in-the-box that looks just like Osama bin Laden. Or a Bush in the box saying, "Don't mess with Texas, don't mess with Texas." But meanwhile, if they're that serious about Homeland Security, why is 90% of our shipping cargo totally uninspected? It's not as though technology ain't there. It just doesn't look as fun on television. Not so much Kiefer Sutherland macho going on. If you're looking at them big shipping containers, those are big things. If you can want to bring in a surface-to-air missile to shoot down an airliner, material to make a real dirty bomb and everything, although all you'd have to do is steal a shell coated with depleted uranium like we're using to poison the Iraqis and our soldiers. Anyway, you could bring that in. You could even bring Osama bin Laden himself in a shipping container and have a 90% chance of success. He could be driving a cab downstairs in Manhattan right now. Or is he the Ice Cream Man?
Hi, this is Alvin Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.